Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I will tell you this, we're having a lot of really good headway in Wyoming. One of the things that is becoming really obvious is that people that are driving need to know how to drive. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of people that understand kind of at a surface level an auditing principles and the concept of republic review, but they don't understand it enough to basically help other people and or understand the context of this. And one of the things that we need to get back into, and I'm it kind of goes down that path of, you know, can you simplify quantum science? Can you simplify things? And I really don't think that this is that difficult. It's just one of those things that you can't necessarily simplify something to gain consensus and approval. People, to get somebody to buy into something, I give you a good example. How many people really give it any thought and any consideration when you're online and they have these agreements that you have to agree to this? People just click on that and go on. And that's because people don't consider those contracts very seriously. Now, some of those contracts really don't, they have more teeth that show, but they don't have teeth that can bite. In other words, the teeth look really bad, but there's lots of times that it really is very hard for some of those contracts to actually have any force. But getting people to understand and getting on board with Republic Review is something that is, I just don't think you can marginalize and or think, well, you know, give somebody kind of this overall, you know, simplification and then go, yeah, I'm on board. No, most people will actually say, you know, why, how? They have the series of questions before they actually get on board. It's not one of those things that you can actually say, you know, in a couple of sentences, what is Republic Review? People go auditing the contract. Okay, well, that makes sense. You can make sense out of this, but for people to get behind it, you have to give them the information to say, absolutely, once they hit that mark, once they've had the epiphany in understanding not only the logic, but once they have the clarity as to what kind of vehicle this is, as well as the magnitude of what this can do. But that takes a little while to get there. And people think that, oh, we can just kind of cover this in a really quick brush and get everybody to sign up and go and move forward. I'm sorry. People do require a level of education. And one of the hurdles I am facing is the byproduct of our indoctrination centers. We have people, Frank Zappa even said this a while back, that we have illiterate folks regarding the Constitution. People are so illiterate and so poorly informed that they do not, it takes a while to get them to really start understanding. Give you a good example. You go out and you ask your friends next week, over the course of a month, I don't care. Ask them, what's the difference between what? Actually, if you ask them, what is a general constitution? Most people wouldn't be able to tell you what the heck a general constitution is. Or if you ask them, what's the difference between a general constitution and an enumerated constitution? They may not even be able to tell you that. But just by the term enumerated, somebody may be able to look up the word and go, okay, enumerated means listing. Well, I think an enumerated constitution kind of lists information, and a general just kind of has general information, right? Well, anyway, understanding a lot of these little details takes a little bit of time. But I want to get into why we don't have a lot of time and we need to get people motivated to all of a sudden say, you know what, I have to invest time so that I can understand, so that I can get behind this. So one of the reasons why on this show, I do what I call marketing. I do this concept of giving you news and showing you just how tyrannical and how despotic our government is, and give you that to hopefully motivate you to take a stand and getting involved and say, that's it, I am done. If we do not take action now, we're going to lose everything. And that is a reality, my friends. That is a big reality. As you know, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You didn't see that coming, did you? Anyway, you also know that this show is dedicated to getting those state legislators, the 7,383 men and women who are in public service of the state, in getting them to assert their constitutional authority in stepping in and calling the federal government out on every violation against the Constitution. People think that this has almost been almost like a kiddie court or, you know, kids in school, because if you look at what the heck's going on in the House, they're just making it up as they go along. You ever heard that expression? And that's exactly what they're doing. But they do have an agenda, and their agenda is very evil. And if you look at where they're pushing us, they've got us in the corner. That's why we do not have a lot of time. I would invite you to go look at all sorts of resources. One of those could be and should be probably Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. They've already implemented all eight points of the positions that they need to put us into, such as the welfare state and so forth. Let me do a little groveling, though. If you want to get involved, if you want to be a part of the solution, if you have an inkling of leadership, if you want to be a leader, contact me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you just want to help us, because bottom line, people aren't going to be throwing a dollar to us unless they really understand what the heck we're doing. And I will tell you that the good folks that have contributed money are not folks that necessarily have lots of money. It's almost like going to, you know, the woman who's got her, you know, cupboards are bare, but she'll give you her last dime because she believes in what you're doing. And so those few people have at least investigated and have gotten to a point where they said, you know, I will help. I'm in. I need your support, as I say at the end of every show. And so that's one way you can support financially. You can also support by, you know, becoming a leader in your county or what have you. There are other ways you can support as well. You can get involved with the Constitution Club, and you can get involved with our First Right. That information is on our webpage on the ReclaimingTheRepublic.org Red State Talk Radio podcast page, as well as the important, or actually it's the link or other links. It's on the other links page with that. And I'm truly trying not to hurry, because when I hurry, I just start stumbling, just like you fumble your keys when you're trying to unlock the door with haste. Anywho, the important thing is that you're listening today, because we're going to go through some nuts and bolts of what do you do when the federal government is violating the Constitution. And you have to first understand that the federal government, as I've been telling you, only has jurisdiction, so Congress can only make laws within those things that are enumerated. The Supreme Court can only review cases of those things that are enumerated. And the president can only execute laws that are enumerated within the Constitution. That's why I said, when they did the shutdown, President Trump could have easily said, hey, I see the EPA as an agency that is not enumerated within the Constitution. That is an unconstitutional power we're exercising, and we're no longer going to fund it. Education, the same thing. Energy, the same. He could have literally started shutting these things down. And I would have changed what I'm about to tell you, because as I have checked, there is no sign in the news that the federal government is disbanding any of its roles. But like I said, President Trump could have, during the shutdown, used this as leverage to start shutting down unconstitutional departments. So what are we going to do? Well, it means that we're going to have to get informed and get involved. And you're listening to the right show, because this show will help you get informed and help you get involved in doing the things that we need to be doing if we are going to save our liberties, our Constitution, and our Republic. I got less than a half a minute, so let me just go ahead and jump into what I started to say, and I'll give you a little more details on this when we get back after the break. But as I said yesterday at the very end of the show, these self-driving cars apparently have a real problem with their programming. They cannot detect dark-skinned people. And so the question is, Was this by design, or is this a flaw in the system? Does it have anything to do with the sensors that they're using? I don't know, but I will tell you that it seems like a great launching pad for groups like the NAACP to call the programmer and the company racist. And I'm just waiting for that to happen. Folks, we will be right back after these two promos, and I'll get into the details of South Korea and these bills coming forward. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so I honestly believe that there are going to be, if you want to call them, the grievance industry or what have you, and this just plays to those who love to do race baiting and so forth. So I can't wait to see how all of this unfolds. technology is racist. Anyway, I wanted to let you know, because I wanted to make sure I took the time to tell you this, G. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo has been scheduled, and it will be from June 7th to the 9th this year in Hartford, Connecticut. Having attended this event last year, this is an awesome event. If you want to actually get exposed to a lot of information, I promise you, you will be overwhelmed. There's all sorts of information regarding the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and so forth. There is all sorts of information regarding what's going on. I mean, last year they had generals speak, they had captains of industry speak, they had doctors and people that understand these powerful psychiatric drugs and so forth. I mean, I was really overwhelmed with all of the information, but more importantly, I was able to actually meet with and create networking with a lot of other conservatives who love the Constitution. I would highly recommend, if you live in the area, and you know, and anybody in New York should be able to get out there, and you know, with a reasonable cost of just driving out there and so forth. I remember that this was a little pricey for us last year, but I will tell you, it was worth every penny. They included, I believe, lunch and so forth. This is an event that you really have to go to and have to attend. I believe that they've got some VIP packages. Take advantage. As a matter of fact, the VIP dinner was absolutely worth it. You got to rub elbows with all sorts of people that, you know, were behind the scenes speakers and so forth. This is much better VIP treatment than I have gone to for party things and so forth, where you get a picture of the person, but I mean, you don't really get to mingle, and there's lots of people there that you get to mingle with, and it's a great opportunity. So I would highly recommend, if you want to get to know those people that are going to be speaking, the list is probably being compiled today, because just like last year, I think that they were still working on the list a month out, trying to make sure that they, you know, could squeeze everybody in. There was just so many people that wanted to be a part of it. This is a go-to event. If you want to call it a mecca for conservatives, this would be one of those types of events that is like, it's like CPAC. However, this event doesn't just tell you, hey, keep voting Republican. This event actually talks about the stuff that CPAC won't. And so I would highly recommend, if you've attended CPAC, attend this event and tell me the information that you're getting here even, you know, compares to what you're getting at CPAC. Who knows? Yours truly may be speaking there and talking about Republic Review. We'll see. Anyway, another piece of information that I think is really important is South Korea is beginning to pay now more money for their protection. So what does this mean? That means that we're finally getting reimbursed for our costs that we're having to shoulder in helping nations. South Korea should also be spending, because they are a large exporter of tech, gadgets, and so forth, cars. They should be spending additional money in enjoying the freedom of transporting commerce on the seas because of good old USA. We're the ones that make and ensure that those shipping lanes stay open, and we should be able to start actualizing how these countries and their companies are being protected and able to actually get their products where they need to go. Piracy is on the rise, and I'll tell you, if the United States started saying, hey, these are the only flags on ships that we're actually going to protect, I think piracy would start rising even more. And I think people would then say, you know what, we need to start paying for some insurance. And we would definitely want the United States insurance, because there's nobody that has the presence on the seas like the United States. And there you go. Well, anyway, let me also cover one more thing. Bradley Manning is in jail for failing to to testify, or even I don't even think he showed up for a hearing for the WikiLeaks, something like that. Anyway, apparently he just doesn't want to cooperate, and he's been emboldened by the Obama administration. And I think he's still a he. I don't think he's gone through the full transition surgery. But anyway, nevertheless, that's still not hate speech, but they're working on that. We'll get into that because that's what the show is all about today. Manafort, only less than 4 years, 47 months. That's not bad, especially because Mueller wanted to throw the book at him and the judge ignored him. So I'm sure that Mueller is not feeling the love because he just has had problems with courts and judges and so forth. And apparently, maybe the word is out that Mueller is just a face or a facade for the deep state. Anyway, one other thing that is coming on the floor and is coming through the halls of the House in Congress is this stupid concept of Voter Rights Act. We'll get into this as we start peeling back the onion. It's supposedly an anti-corruption bill, but it is corrupt because it automatically enrolls everyone as a voter in the United States, automatically. And that is a dream for the progressives because they want all illegals and even tourists to be able to vote in our elections. I'm sure, like I said, they'd be happy to throw absentee ballots over to China, Russia, and all these other communist states so that they can vote in our election as well. I will say, back on the Manafort thing, there's a good chance that President Trump could pardon Manafort, but we'll see. I think that he'll probably spend some time in jail, and if President Trump gets reelected, he may actually just let him write out the sentence. Who knows? I mean, the president can pardon anybody at any point in time, but will he do Manafort and so forth? I would like to see Timmy Geithner and the rest of the Obama administration, those hacks that were all tax cheats, I'd like to see them fully investigated because you know what? They were never tried. We have this thing called double jeopardy. Double jeopardy only plays out if you're actually being tried again. Like there's a potential Bradley Manning could have double jeopardy if he is tried for something that he's already been tried for. But in this particular case, I would like to see Timmy Geithner and the rest of the Obama cheats to be fully investigated because they were never tried. It's the same thing with Clinton. Clinton was never tried. They never went through the process. So, you know, get a whole new group in there, do the full investigation and try them. Make them do the perp walk. That's America needs to start to see some justice. If we're a country that abides by the rule of law, then we have to ensure we enforce the rule of law. So let me get into the meat for today. The House resolution that passed yesterday regarding hate speech is, and it surprisingly passed 407-23. All 23 votes were Republicans, but what's embarrassing is that they got as many Republican votes on this as they did. Any Republican that voted for this and every person that voted for this should be considered as a public servant that should be barred from public service. And we should be using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment on them because they are not supporting the Constitution. Because as we go through the Kentucky resolutions, you will see how what they are doing is a palpable and blatant violation of the Constitution. And the whole thing was supposed to be an admonishment and a slap on the wrist and a spanking or what have you for Ilhan Omar, who is an absolute embarrassment to Minnesota, to politics altogether. She is an ideologue that she should be stripped basically for what she is doing and how she's... I'm tired. We can no longer accept these public servants for violating our Constitution. And what ended up happening was this actually turned into, and I know Nancy Pelosi has got to be fuming, how this went from a anti-Semitic bill to an anti-Islamophobia type of bill. And so how did we get here? How did we get into this paradigm where the government is supporting an organization like the KKK, which the Islamic movement is just like that? I mean, it is it is even worse, because the KKK was not prejudiced against, well, I guess actually they were prejudiced against all other races. They were white supremacists. And Islamophobia is the same thing as Quran or Islam supremacist, because that's what they want. The doctrine of Islam is world domination, that Islam must rule the world, and they don't care what they have to do. There are really good books. If you don't believe this is true, then look at some politically incorrect books that are out there by Robert Spencer. He's written quite a few books, and there's many others that expose the Islamic agenda. Anywho, as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. But when we come back, we are going to, dive into the Kentucky Resolutions and the writings of Thomas Jefferson. So please stay tuned and you'll get the background on why we're doing this. And we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so just to pile on a little bit more information, apparently today, on the heels of this anti-Semitic bill passing, which it turned out not to be an anti-Semitic bill, and it doesn't matter, we shouldn't be passing bills like this, the Pope decries anti-Semitism. Apparently nobody told the Pope that the message had changed, and it's anti-Islamophobia. I am telling you that these Republicans and these Democrats who voted for these 407 legislators who voted for this bill are treading on the Constitution. If you understand, the Constitution is very well defined that we do not have the ability, Congress does not have the ability to legislate or create any laws that violate the Constitution. And so the Kentucky resolutions were
the byproduct of the federal government passing acts that made it illegal for people to say certain things about the United States government. It was a act that created a, if you want to call it the first act of political correctness, it was the first act that actually restricted speech. And so the reason I'm actually reading this is if you understand Republic Review and you understand the fact that this is a compact, this is a contract, and the contract in basic contract law, every contract, it's not just this contract, every contract can be audited. Your labor contract can be audited. Your house association, you know, those what do they call them? Covenants, those CCRs, those types of things can be audited, and you can be identified as violating that constitution and or you contract, compact, whatever you want to call it. And there is a process of mediating and or rectifying the variances or the violations. And so it was very obvious that Jefferson and Madison recognized that these acts were a violation of the Constitution. The only way the federal government can regulate speech is if you repeal the First Amendment or cut out or amend the Constitution so that there's no such thing as not freedom of speech, but the freedom of expression and speech. Actually, let me get into the First Amendment because I want to cite it accurately. And so when we look at the First Amendment, they call it, they summarize it as the freedom of speech, but it actually is this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof of religion or abridging the freedom of speech. And so Congress cannot make any law that says that you cannot say these types of words. Now, the freedom of speech is not necessarily means that, you know, they can't pass any laws. Congress can't, but states actually have laws that restrict speech, but it has to be for public safety or so forth. In other words, you can't say bomb on an airplane. You can't yell fire in a theater unless there is a real fire. And I think even so, you have to do it a certain way because you have to be able to maintain safety and order so that people just don't all of a sudden panic and rush into the flames. Anyway, the whole point here is that when they recognized that the Constitution was being violated, they ran out to the states. Why did they go to the states, though? Why did Jefferson go to Kentucky and Madison to Virginia? Because it is the state's responsibility, because they are the stakeholders of the contract. It is their contract, in other words. It's not the federal government's contract. It was written for and by the states, and that's why it requires the states to ratify the Constitution as well as ratifying any amendment. The Supreme Court can't ratify, the President can't ratify an amendment, and Congress cannot ratify an amendment. Congress requires two-thirds of both houses to say, we all agree that we think we need to have this amendment, but that does not make the amendment so. What has to happen is it has to go to the states, and it requires 3/4 of the states to agree to give the federal government any new roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so here's an obvious case where the federal government did not get an amendment to the Constitution. They took it upon themselves to regulate speech. And so this is what Thomas Jefferson said: resolved that the several states composing the United States are not united on the principle of unlimited submission to their general government, but that a compact under the style and title of a Constitution for the United States and of amendments thereto, they constituted a general government for special purposes, not unlimited purposes. I'm just adding here. And he goes on and says, delegated to that government certain definite powers reserving each state to itself the residuary mass of right to their own self-government. In other words, the Constitution delegated, or the states in that Constitution delegated definite powers, reserving to the states themselves all other powers. And whatsoever the general government assumes undelegated powers, its acts are unauthoritative, void, and of no force. That to this compact, each state acceded as a state and is an integral part. That's what I'm saying. They're stakeholders. They're the owners of this compact. It's co-states forming as to itself the other party that the government created by this compact. In other words, they created two parties. They created the states themselves, and then they created a subcontractor in the federal government really isn't a party. They're a party in the contract, but they're not a party of supremacy. They're not a party of any ownership regarding the Constitution. They were created. They are a part. They are the subcontractor. They have no ability to amend this Constitution on their own. And so, that the government created by this compact was not made the exclusive or final judge of the extent of the powers delegated to itself. since that would have made its discretion and not the Constitution the measure of its powers, but that, as in all other cases of compact among powers having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge for itself, as well of infractions as the mode and measure of redress. And so here is another example, and I'm using this as a learning point, because here they come talking about trying to regulate speech and this anti-Semitic law. You know, if, regardless of whether you think this is a noble and a good thing to do, well, if you want this to happen, the only way that this can constitutionally happen, where they can legally do this, is you have to amend the Constitution to say they can define what you can say and what you can't say. And that, my friends, is a very evil door to open, because all of a sudden they can come after Christians for saying anything. This next paragraph, this next resolution is really, and if you go through this, as I just said, what Jefferson just did, he defined the specific powers that were delegated. He didn't define what they were. He just said that the federal government had specific powers and the states had all the residual powers. So what he's doing is he's auditing the contract, and he's defining how this contract is being violated, saying that only the states have unlimited powers, that the federal government has to come to the states so that they can get any new powers. So this next one, this next resolution, Resolution 2, is a resolution that starts pointing to, you know, what the federal government can do within these powers regarding crimes, and how those crimes do not equate to what they're doing. In other words, they're completely violating the Constitution by assuming the authority over crimes they have no authority over, which is speech. And so let me just jump in, because we got just a little over a minute. Resolved that the Constitution of the United States, having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason, counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States, those are two laws, piracy and felonies committed on the high sea, that's a third law, and offenses against the laws of nations. Those are the four laws that they have jurisdiction over. That's it. And he says, and no other crimes whatsoever. And it being true as a general principle, and one of the amendments to the Constitution having also declared that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, not prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And so they can't just come along and say, we want to create these criminal laws and go after all of these, what I'll say, they going after these bad folks out there that are, you know, whether they're pushing drugs, My point is, my friends, is that the Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and all of these other agencies out there are unconstitutional because we've never amended the Constitution to give them jurisdiction over all of these crimes that they say they've created. And so with that, you hear the music, we're at a hard break. So we'll come back and I'll pick up this resolution when we come back. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so I'm going to have to span this into the next show. So you're definitely going to want to tune into the next show. The reason what I am reading is so important, because what Congress did way back then, and actually it was the federal government, because it wasn't just the House that passed an act, they actually a resolution to, you know, call out hate speech. Congress passed a law that Adams signed that violates the Constitution, and this resolution in the House is the exact same thing. Even though it's not going to become a law, they're actually taking a stand in saying we should, as a people, this violates our foremost principle of individual liberty. It's one thing to be able to say whatever you want to say and having, you know, states creating laws, but it's another thing for government to say you can't say those things or you shouldn't be saying those things. Now, there's a commandment that thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. We'll let God do that because he is the ultimate sovereign. But the government and the way our government was created, it cannot pass any law that imposes or infringes on our ability to say whatever it is we want to say. And so it was crossing the line to Jefferson and Madison, and so they went out to take action to get the states to stand up and rebuke the federal government. The states failed to do their job. Today, what we're dealing with is so many violations against the Constitution that there is no limit to what the federal government is going to do to us. We have the ability to follow Jefferson and Madison's lead in calling the federal government out for violating the Constitution and holding them accountable to violating the state's compact. So Jefferson continues and says, he actually identifies the two acts, and he says, so he calls out these acts, and they're really long names, and so there are two acts that were passed, and then he says, in a parenthesis, and all other acts which assume to create, define, or punish crimes other than those so enumerated in the Constitution are altogether void and of no force, and that the power to create, define, and punish such other crimes is reserved and of right appertains solely and exclusively to the respective states, each within its own territory. Okay, so the next resolution that Jefferson calls out, which is number three, he points out that what they're doing is violating the 10th and the First Amendment. So this identifies the fact that he is auditing the Constitution because he's calling them out and saying, you're violating this part of the contract as well as this part of the contract. So how does he do it? And this is what he says. The resolve that it is true as a general principle and is also expressly declared by one of the amendments to the Constitution that, quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution are prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people, and that no power over the freedom of religion, freedom of speech, or freedom of the press being delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, all lawful powers respecting the same did of right remain. In other words, the states have the power to do those things. The federal government do not, and were reserved to the states or the people. That thus was manifested their determination to retain to themselves the right of judging how far the licentiousness of speech and of the press may be abridged without lessening their useful freedom. So in other words, only the states have this ability. And how far those abuses which cannot be separated from their use should be tolerated rather than the use be destroyed. And thus also they guard against all abridgment by the United States, he's talking about the general government very specifically, of the freedom of religious opinions and exercises, and retained to themselves the right of protecting the same as this state by a law passed on the general demand of its citizens had already protected them from all human restraint or interference. And that in addition to this general principle and express declaration, another and more specifically provision has been made by one of the amendments to the Constitution, which expressly declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So this is where he's mentioning the First Amendment. The first amendment he mentioned was the 10th, and now he's mentioning the First Amendment, which expressly declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, thereby guarding in the same sentence and under the same words the freedom of religion, of speech, and of the press, insomuch that whatever violated either throws down the sanctuary which covers the others arid, that libels falsehood and defamation equally with hearsay and false religion, are withheld from the cognizance of federal tribunals. So in other words, the federal government, even if somebody defames somebody, and even if somebody is putting out falsehoods, such as, and a good example, there's people out there that are saying, mischaracterizing and literally lying about what Republic Review is, what we're doing here. They're saying that we are a backdoor to an Article 5 convention, and we're not. The fact is, the federal government has no jurisdiction over libel, over falsehoods, defamations, and hearsay, or heresy, false religions, and all of that. That is left to the states. The states have the cognizance and jurisdiction over these things. And he continues and says that, therefore, the act of Congress, and he identifies what that act is. It's a long name and it's, you know, punishment of crimes. But anyway, he says, therefore, this act, which does abridge the freedom of speech, is not law, but is altogether void and of no force. You getting it? You start to understand that this, he was really infuriated that the federal government overreached their bounds. And this is why he went to the states to say, wake up. He slapped these guys and said, look, we've got work to do. The reason why he and Madison did this is because the states were the junior league, the JV team. They were the guys that were the B team, because when the federal government formed, the best and brightest went to the federal government, and the remnants stayed behind. Now, not that these guys were saps, but the fact of the matter is that nobody was going to take any action until Jefferson and Madison walked into these state legislators and go, you know what just happened? You guys got to act. And he started teaching them what they needed to do. And so that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm just trying to be just like Jefferson, and we all should be walking in and poking our state legislators to go, you realize how many violations of the Constitution that are occurring, and you're letting it happen? So the fourth act is resolved that alien friends are under the jurisdiction and protection of the laws of the states wherein they are. So I want you to understand that at this point in time, the federal government did not have jurisdiction over immigration and people migrating to the states. That occurred in the 1808 clause within the Constitution. The federal government assumed all authority over immigration in 1808, and he points this out here. So this is really important. He points it out in the next resolution, by the way, not this one. But, and I don't have enough time to go into this, so I'm going to just cap it here. We're going to start off with Resolution 4 on Monday. I'm telling you that there really is no relevant news that's really happening that is going anywhere that we need to really investigate. The most important thing is understanding what is going on and how this exact same thing happened in Congress in 1798, and it was this that was the catalyst in getting Jefferson and Madison. So this is a great learning opportunity for everybody to say, we need to take action. We need to take a stand, and we need to demand compliance. That is why I am on a crusade, and I'm asking you to join this crusade. And if you understand what a crusade is a valiant effort in trying to restore and or save and preserve something. And what are we preserving? We're preserving the Constitution. And how are we going to preserve it? By getting and forcing the federal government to comply to the Constitution. No longer are we going to allow them to step on it. No longer are we going to allow them to bypass the states and do whatever they want to. It is the three C's. It is a crusade demanding compliance to the Constitution. And our crusade is to preserve and protect that Constitution, which all U.S. citizens should be doing. I am G.R. Mobley, and I am reclaiming the Republic, and I do need your help. And I humbly say that. God bless, and have a great weekend. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.